the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Communion devotion this morning comes from Christian Standard. Many evening news programs begin with the announcement of breaking news. Typically, it's a story that just occurred or has come to light and thus deserve being covered first in their broadcast. Ironically, that story is often about people or things that have been broken. Individuals that have been injured or killed by gunfire, an accident, a fire destroyed a house or a business, or tornado, or here recently, train derailment. Modern cities seem to be especially vulnerable to brokenness. Many are beset with a host of problems: frequent crime, struggling businesses, crumbling infrastructure. David's words in Psalms 55 sound as if he had just watched the nightly news. I see violence and strife in the city. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. Sometimes it may seem that the church is broken. It has its own issues with questionable and sometimes even illegal conduct that hinders its effectiveness in fulfilling Jesus' mission. It's true, the church is not and has never been perfect. Even in the first century, serious morale problems have been addressed, as in Corinth. But those matters should not be allowed to impact the church's breaking news. In Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, Jesus has come to break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Communion uses broken bread and broken grapes in remembering the impact this breaking news has had on our lives. Ironically, we ourselves must become broken. For it is only when we realize and acknowledge our brokenness due to sin that we are genuinely prepared to receive God's grace and be restored to wholeness. Even David, living in a millennium before the time of Jesus, understood this truth when he wrote in Psalms 51:17 of repentance, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." Unlike the breaking news on television that is often announcing something tragic, heartbreaking, our news is always good news that will cause great joy. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much that you sent your one and only Son to come here to become that perfect sacrifice, to shed that blood, and have that body broken, Lord. And Lord, this was not when we loved you. You loved us first, Lord. We thank you that you loved us enough to be able to send your Son, Lord. And we just thank you now for this time of this service where we dwell upon that, Lord, that great sacrifice and love and grace that you show us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, folks. The rumor that we're not having church today because there's electrical outage is greatly exaggerated. So I don't know how that got started for sure, but I know that the wind was horrible last night, and a lot of people did lose electricity, so that's probably where it came from. A number of things in the bulletin would like to call your attention to. Christian Service Camp, if you're bringing in food for Elkhorn Valley, there's a couple boxes out here in the foyer by the coat rack, and we'll be taking that down Friday. So don't bring it in next Sunday. If you want to bring in food for Elkhorn, bring it in sometime during this week, if you would. We'd appreciate that. We've been having the mental health clinic and the medical clinic meeting here for the last few months. This will be the last week that they meet in our building. They are starting a clinic downtown, and it'll be a clinic that will have a doctor present too. So that will be great. So just keeping you updated on what's going on there. Easter flowers, if you would like to bring in some Easter flowers, a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, please make sure you do that this week or next week if you would like to donate flowers to decorate the front of the building for our Easter service. Also, the women are having a ladies' retreat on Saturday, April 29th, and need men to help serve at that retreat and clean up. So if you can help, fellas, sign the list posted on the bulletin board. That would be appreciated. We have a number of people who are out of town at the present time, some who are staying out of town throughout the week. We've had a few families who have moved, but they are coming back to worship. But we do have a number of families who are out of town right now who are not coming back on Sunday morning, and we need help in the youth department. So if you haven't been helping recently, we need help at least for a couple months here to kind of fill in the spots while these people are out of town. So if you would see Ryan or Mandy and let them know you can help, they can tell you where needed. I don't know if most of us on Sunday, Ryan? Sunday. So if you're able to help, please see Ryan or Mandy concerning that. Also, on April 4th, not this week, not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, April 4th, from 11 to 1, we're going to be hosting a community lunch here. It's a takeout or eat-in, and it's a free luncheon. A Blessings Through Action is paying for this, and they have made a substantial contribution to our Caring Hands program, so a wonderful blessing for us. But we need people to help. A few people on Monday to help us set up, and then we need people here on Tuesday, probably from about 10 o'clock to it's over at 1 or so, and help cleaning up. So if you would like to come and be part of that, please feel free to do that. Then please let me know so we have an idea how many people will be here to help. If you have any questions concerning our disaster fund or what's going on as far as the train wreck and within our church or things, please see me personally and we'd be glad to talk with you about that. Please look over our prayer list if you would. Please remember Faye and Randy Heaton upon the passing of Coco. Coco helped with Caring Hands often, so the funeral will be here April 8th at 10:30 a.m. So please be keeping that family in your prayers. And, of course, Bill Bumgarner passed away, and that funeral was this last week, so please keep that family in your prayers. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. We're very happy to have Kevin and Lori with us from the Christian Children's Home in Wooster, Ohio. Kevin's going to be sharing a little bit about the home here this morning and preaching a message for us. And then they'll be in Sunday school sharing for us in the gym. So please, I plan to stay around and hear more about this mission. Kevin?
Thanks, Bob. And good morning. You guys are smart that you have a microphone that I can't move because I really like to move around so you guys won't get dizzy. So I'll try to stay as much as I can close by. But earlier this month, I was forwarded an email from our Christian Children's Home of Ohio residential program manager, Louis DiFiore. And our residential program specializes in connecting with kids from hard places, kids who have experienced severe enough trauma that they need around-the-clock supervision to help them heal. Here's what Louis wrote in his email to his fellow staff members. I just wanted to share this with everyone because sometimes times are tough here, and sometimes you may doubt yourself if what you're doing is even making an impact on others. Well, today during team building, Grace in Cottage 4 had to share an interesting fact about herself, and she said, I haven't been loved my whole life until I came to CCHO. Wow, Louis writes, I had to fight back some tears, but how great is that this this, that someone who had to hide her true feelings her whole life to be able to come out of left field and say that. Keep showing up and keep showing these kids the love of Jesus, because it's making an impact whether we know it or not. You know, we get excited when we hear words like that come from our kids, but we're also saddened to think that Grace, a resident on our teen girls' cottage, Cottage 4, a teen had never felt loved until coming to our 165-acre campus about 90 minutes west of here in Worcester. Can you imagine being a teenager and not having felt love before? Unfortunately, Grace's story is not unique to our program. So many kids these days don't know or even understand what love is. We know where love comes from. It was mentioned earlier. As the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. At CCHO and our family ministries, which include our residential program, Encourage Foster Care, and Encompass Christian Counseling, our purpose is to help more people experience their worth in Christ. We believe that there is no greater purpose in today's culture than for kids and adults to know that they are worthy because of what Jesus Christ has done. We know that we will never lock eyes with anyone who was not worth enough for Jesus to die for. And part of that, of understanding their worth, is understanding that they're worthy to be loved. Not a love as the world defined it, but love as Jesus defined it. A love that is deep enough you'd be willing to give your life for it. At Christian Children's Home Ohio, we want our kids to realize that they are so much more than what has happened to them. For so many of them, they've been defined by the trauma that they have experienced. They've been told that they are losers, they're worthless, they'll never amount to anything. And our desire is for them to know that the Creator of the universe is writing a whole different script than the lies they've been told or even telling themselves. My name, as has been mentioned, is Kevin Hewitt, and my awesome wife, Lori, and I are honored to worship with you this morning. We are a little bit conflicted, though, because we had the opportunity to come and actually spend the night so my non-morning wife wouldn't have to get up so early to come over here, morning person wife. But as Bob said, the wind at our area actually lost a lot of power, but our house didn't. But our daughter and son-in-law and our grandkids and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and my niece and nephew all stayed at our house last night. So I'm a little bummed that we didn't get a chance to spend the night with our grandkids. But I'm also excited to be here. And I'm thankful to have this opportunity to share with you a little what God is doing at CCHO, as well as a little what God has put on my heart to share. I also want to let you know that we've been praying for you. We are proud that First Church of Christ has taken a leading role on the road to healing in this town. It's really cool to open Standard Magazine, or actually I was at standard.com or whatever the website, and actually see an article about this church. And Bob leading you guys into opening your doors to your neighbors and being the hands and feet of Christ during this very unsettling time in East Palestine. I want you to know that the world is seeing you put the love of Christ into action, and that we're praying for you. I also want you to know that the Big C Church across America is praying for you as well. My wife, Lori, actually works for Insight Events in Nashville, Tennessee. And her co-workers actually were concerned with how close we were to the train derailment. And then when Lori told them that we were becoming to share at First Church of Christ, they also made sure to tell her that they were praying for you and your church to show the love of Christ to the world. So keep living out that love that Grace feels at CCHO here in East Palestine. I also want to let you know that it's not hyperbole for me to say that without the amazing support of churches like First Church of Christ, CCHO would not exist, would not have had the opportunity to help kids and adults experience their true worth in Christ for over 54 years. So I'm going to pray, but I am a little nervous about praying, so I apologize, because at our church at home, I actually do the announcements and pray sometimes. And the other day, I was praying, and I actually said, in Jesus' name, goodbye. And I actually, like, started walking down. I was, like, three steps in. I'm like, wait, I meant amen. I really have no idea. So I'm a little nervous as I go into this, but make sure you guys hear amen at the end and not goodbye. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you so much for this opportunity to be with our friends and fellow believers in East Palestine. And I pray, Father, you would bless this church. So grateful for their heart for you and their heart for their community. I pray, Father, that this would be a moment in time that the church shines brightly, that your amazing number one plan for the world is a church counteracting all the darkness. And we are grateful that you have placed First Church of Christ here. Father, I pray for this morning. I pray that you give me the words to say, the heart to say, as I try to share a little bit of all that you do at CCHO and our family of ministries. Lord, we'd ask that you would just bless this time, bless my words. Lord, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, as we help people experience their worth in Christ, we have to guide them in understanding their identity to comprehend their worth. Who am I? Who are you? Where do I seek to find my identity? Is it in my job? The vehicle I drive? The size of my 401k? My children? Where do I find my identity? This morning I'm going to share how the Apostle Paul describes our identity in Jesus in Ephesians 1. But I must make a disclaimer here first. I'm just going to be scratching the surface of the tremendously rich theology that's found in Ephesians 1. Literally, we could spend weeks unpacking these 14 verses that I'm going to share. But I just want to give you a broad view on how the Apostle Paul describes our identity in Christ. And then just a quick reminder of who the author of this passage is. The Apostle Paul, whose identity of prior meeting Jesus was wrapped up and being the Jew of Jews, following the law, persecuting the church. And as it says in Acts 1, Paul approved of the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Then, the third verse of chapter 8, we're informed that Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and placed them in prison. Other versions say that Saul created havoc, ravaging the church. Then chapter 9 actually begins with, meanwhile, Saul was still bringing out numerous threats against the Lord's disciple. And then Jesus got a hold of Saul on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed forever. I don't know if we can even comprehend how amazing it is that that person, Saul/Paul, after the tremendous heart change, that this enemy of Jesus goes on to write nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. I mean, that can only be God. So let's pick up Saul, known as Paul, as he writes a letter to the church of Ephesus. And I would challenge you, as I read through these verses, think about words that describe our identity as believers. Paul, this is Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Man. Let's take a look at how Paul, writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, while in prison, the Jew of Jews, writing about Jesus in prison, and how Paul describes our identity in this doxology, which, when you actually look at the original Greek, that was actually written in one sentence. I'm really glad we've changed some things when it comes to grammar, because that would have been hard to read that as one sentence. And which very likely would have been sung in the early church. Which, how cool would that have been, be with the other early Christians and singing Paul's letters? It sounded probably a little bit like you guys this morning. You guys did sounded fantastic. But first, Paul mentioned in this scripture that we are blessed. And not only blessed, but blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So as Christians, as ones who believe in Jesus, we have every blessing that comes with eternity with Christ. And it's interesting to me that Paul doesn't mention that in the future, but actually presently, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. That begs me to ask the question of myself and of you, do I behave like I know that I'm blessed, or do I let the things of this world crowd out that understanding? We are chosen. The creator of the universe chose us. I don't know about you, but I know the stigma of being picked last. And for the children we work with, this is a familiar feeling of being unwanted, worthless, and abandoned. But Paul here writes that we are chosen by the creator of the universe. I wonder, you know, if we could pause for a moment and let that sink in. We, you, I, are chosen, not because of our looks, our talents, our wealth, not because of how we performed. Jesus wants us, desires us. We are chosen. But Paul doesn't stop there. We're not only chosen, but we're holy and blameless in God's sight. Remember, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are a new creature, a new creation, in God's sight, holy and blameless. Warren Wiersbe actually wrote the Bee books. He's a pastor from a while ago, or a minister from a while ago, and he once said to his congregation, if you knew all I know about myself, you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. And if I knew everything you knew about yourself, I wouldn't want to be your pastor. Yet in the eyes of Jesus, we are holy and blameless. Adopted to sonship through Jesus Christ. Our Encourage foster care program has had nearly 300 children adopted by their foster parents. And one of the most powerful scenarios in our field is the court hearing for the finalization of adoption. Adoption is processed, and it's very likely that several of you here have been adopted or have adopted or maybe even been thinking of adopting. So if you have been through the process, you know it's a process. First, there's the training and the home study, a process that is long and exhaustive. They ask you really, really intrusive questions. But again, you are adopting our greatest resource, the next generation. A family needs to be matched to a child, and often there may be multiple families that are interested in the same child. And often, prospective adoptive parents have to process not being the chosen family. But this time, you are chosen as a family to take in this prospective adoptive child. Next comes a placement of the child and pre-finalization services provided by agencies like our Encourage Foster Care Department. And then the big day, the court hearing where the judge is going to grant permanent custody to the adoptive family. The process is cool at this point because you see the foster child and the foster family and their attorney enter the big prestigious courtroom, sit in their seats, and out of the side chambers, the judge in their flowing gown comes striding in the room. Everyone rises, and the judge sits down on the bench. Sometimes it even looks like a throne, and most time the judge lovely interacts with the child and asks several questions about if they know what's going to happen this special day. And oftentimes the child is nervous and shy, a little scared, because for so many of them, the last time they had seen the judge, they were either testifying to the trauma that occurred to them, either neglect or abuse. Yet today the judge is there for a totally different reason, to grant permanent custody to the foster parents, to become a permanent part of the family. Adoption, what a blessing. Imagine the judge being God and Jesus saying, he, pointing at us, he, she is mine. And the judge, God, says, welcome to my family, adopted into the family of God. I'll never forget the picture of one of our young, encouraged foster girls being adopted a couple years ago. And when the judge asked if this young girl had anything else to say, she asked the judge if she could sing Jesus Loves Me in the courtroom. I'm telling you, there wasn't a dry eye in that room as that young girl began singing. And by the end, the whole courtroom had joined her, including the judge, and sang Jesus Loves Me. Adoption. What a beautiful picture of salvation. But Paul isn't done. Through Jesus, we're also redeemed and forgiven. Can we just take a moment and let that wash over us? We needed a redeemer. We have all sinned and fallen short, and we have acted in ways that hurt God. Yet in his love, he sent his son to redeem us, to buy back. We are redeemed and forgiven according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon you. I told you earlier that we could unpack these verses for a very, very long time. Forgiven, washed away. When we beat ourselves up over past sins, when we become paralyzed because of our past, Jesus stamps forgiven, and that you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And I would like to highlight one final identifier Paul uses in this section of Scripture, marked and sealed. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Not only does God redeem us, forgive us, but he sends his Spirit to allow us to live out his will here on earth. And here's another challenge. I wonder if those closest around us would testify like we live, like we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Are the fruits of the Spirit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control evident in my life? Evident in your life? So let's review what we've discussed so far. For those of us who believed and accepted Jesus as the Christ, we are identified by Paul as blessed with every spiritual blessing, chosen, holy, blameless, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, sealed, marked. Those are pretty good words to base your identity on. And our identity in Christ is not what others have called us, thought of us. It's not even the lies we tell ourselves. We have the identity Paul writes about, and it's found in the book of Ephesians. And that is why there is no greater purpose than one we have at Christian Children's Home Ohio to help people experience their worth in Christ. To repeat, you or I will never lock eyes with anyone that wasn't worth enough for Jesus to die for. No matter their gender, their ethnicity, their race, their religion, their political party, no matter anything, each of us has an inherent worth placed on them because Jesus came, lived, hung on a cross, and rose again to give us eternal life. And our responsibility is to tell as many people we can of this unbelievable good news, the gospel of Jesus. Paul, in a very familiar second chapter of Ephesians, goes on to describe the unbelievable good news that we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive with Christ through grace. And verse 10 is one of my favorite verses in Scripture, and it describes how we are to live after we accept Jesus and are baptized. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do that may include bringing love to those who have society has thrown away. Whether that be through coming to work for CCHO, we have positions available, or being a foster parent, we would love to talk to you, or supporting the work through donations, or the most important thing, by praying for us. We covered your prayers. But the other aspect of Ephesians 2:10 that so excites me is that the Greek word translated handiwork in verse 10 can also be translated masterpiece. So we are God's masterpiece. Imagine how different we would think of ourselves if we thought of ourselves that way. How our choices would be different. How our words may be more seasoned with grace when we recognize who we are in God's sight. I close this morning, which is two words that are dangerous when ministers share those. But I close this morning with an Old Testament verse which beautifully describes our identity and is so powerful to me. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He'll take great delight in you. In his love, he'll no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. The same God who is blessed with every spiritual blessing takes great delight in you. He rejoices over you with singing. And it's interesting, when you look at the Hebrew meaning of that word singing, how it said that, it's not a quiet melody. It's a strong, powerful, the mighty warrior who saves is loudly singing over you. We're going to close with a real short video, and it is a thank you to our churches, but it's a story of Katie. And when you guys play it, can you make sure you play it to the end? Because she giggles at the end, and that's like my favorite part of the video. So this is the story of Katie. Giggle. A life has been changed forever. So I don't know where you guys are with your struggling with your identity. My prayer is that you really do understand the promises and the words that Paul writes in Ephesians 1. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus, look at what's waiting for you as a new identity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here at First Church of Christ. And I pray, Father, I'm so grateful for their support. And even as they collected baskets for our Heart for the Home benefit auction, even in the midst of everything that was going on here, they still thought enough, and so grateful for Debbie and her missions team. And Lord, just bless them and bless our kids at CCHO and foster care and residential and Encompass. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would find our identity in you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.